you, everyone, for your patience. We had to have a quick lunch since we're going to be here till 6 o'clock at least tonight. So we are now on section number 3, informal interviews, board deliberation and action. We are starting with item number 1, 2415, in regards to Hannah Schaefer, DVM. We've got our court reporter all ready to go. Alrighty, so thank you both for being here. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Hannah Schaefer in case number 2415. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Schaefer, please introduce yourself and your counsel for the record.
I'm Dr. Schaefer and this is Cody Hall.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Schaefer, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, these options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials that you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We do not have anything else. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of this case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Nosley, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes. On July 4th, 2023, Princess, a 12-year-old female domestic short-haired cat was presented to the respondent for a dental cleaning. Diagnostics were performed after sedation with DKT due to the cat's temperament. Approximately 30 minutes later, another dose of DKT was administered. The dental cleaning was performed and the cat was non-responsive. Naloxone and antacetin were administered. The cat remained unresponsive. At that point, care was transferred to the respondent's associate, Dr. Fastball. I'm saying that right. A short time later, respondent and Dr. Fastball transported the cat to an emergency facility for advanced post-anesthesia care. Upon arrival, diagnostics were performed and the cat was extubated. Upon being extubated, the cat was paddling, her pupils were meiotic and had some light response. Overnight, the cat's condition declined, requiring re-intubation. The complainant was advised to visit the cat. Upon arrival, the complainant was advised of the cat's seizure activity, blood pressure changes. Complainant declined further care and elected to humanely euthanize the cat.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Schaefer, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Dr. Schaefer, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
You know, we've actually have nothing to add to the written responses that we previously provided. We're obviously mindful of your time as well, and think it's probably more productive if we answer your questions and then have a brief statement at the end to hopefully wrap up. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions of Dr. Schaefer.
Hi, Dr. Schaefer. So I start with the record indicates that Princess was admitted to the hospital at 8:10 in the morning. Timestamps throughout the records. We have timestamps and she came in at 8:10. When did you first see her?
I first saw her a little bit, first physically examined her or first saw her in the hospital?
First saw her, period.
I saw her come in the hospital in a carrier and get put in her kennel.
Okay, so she, can you describe her demeanor then?
She was pretty fractious. She was growling and hissing. Mm-hmm.
So she remained in the carrier?
That is correct.
And then the carrier was placed in a kennel? Okay.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So then, next you began your sedation. Can you describe that first injection of the DKT? And I think we should explain what that is. Dexmedetomidine, ketamine, and butorphanol.
Yes.
Correct?
So those medications were together in a syringe. The kennel door was opened and the cat was restrained. The kennel inside the door was on the carrier was also opened and two nurses restrained the cat. When I poked and went to give the medication, the cat turned around and tried to go after me. And as a result, I was not sure that the medication was administered.
So the technicians were holding the cat. Were you able to get a hold of the leg?
No, they were holding the back end and I went kind of in the gluteal region.
And I think you said in the investigative committee, maybe you saw some material that didn't get in the cat?
Yes.
Did I hear that right?
Yes, like intra fur.
Got the fur a little wet there where you were headed. Okay, so in terms of the dose, I just want to clarify. This was given two times, but according to the record, the total amount given was 0.2 mLs of each drug. And clarification, these drugs are given usually in equal amounts in the same syringe. Am I right?
Yes, that okay. is correct.
So a total of 0.2 was given, but at the time we're talking about now, it was 0.1 of each.
That is correct.
Okay. And then according to the timestamps, again, it was 22 minutes after that first injection of the DKT when you determined that Princess was not sedate enough to proceed. Does that sound right?
That is correct.
Okay. So can you describe then for me again the second injection of the DKT? Her fractious behavior the same first?
Yes, it was the same.
Okay, so describe same process.
She was growling, hissing, swatting at us, and it was the same process that we used as the previous.
Were you able to get a hold of the leg at that time?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And so then you gave an additional 0.1 of each drug for a total of 0.3 at that point?
Yes.
Okay. Again, looking at the timestamps, it was 2 minutes after the second dose that you determined Princess was sedate enough to proceed. That was at 12:42, is that correct?
Yes, I did not record these times, though.
Okay. Right, but I mean, it was 2 minutes, now she's sedate, and you deem it was appropriate to go ahead and proceed.
Yes.
Okay. Then we have this time period from 12:42 to 12:47, a period of 5 minutes. At first, were vitals that couldn't have been taken before then obtained at that point?
Yes.
By who?
By the nurse.
Okay. And how was the heart rate obtained by the nurse at that point? Stethoscope?
With a stethoscope.
Count?
Yes.
Okay. And then was your physical exam performed next?
Yes.
Okay. Can you describe the physical exam just briefly for me? Your physical exam on the sedated cat. We don't have to go into it in great detail, but.
The cat was appropriately sedated. Our heart rate was ranging from 110 to 140 or okay. so. Our rest rate was around 20.
Okay. And that was by your evaluation?
Yes, okay. That is from my evaluation.
And according to the record, then there's a template, and you did an evaluation of the stifle. Indicated an MPL and crepitus in the stifle?
Yes.
Okay, and abdominal? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I was waiting for you.
Can you repeat the question, please?
In your template on the physical exam, under musculoskeletal, it says evaluation of the stifle was NPL with crepitus.
Yes.
Okay. And so you did auscultation, abdominal palpation?
Yes.
Okay. And then was the blood drawing next?
Yes.
Can you describe who, what, where, how did that occur in this sedated cat?
Yes, a catheter was placed and then blood was drawn back from it for practice manager Madison and with the nurse on the case, Nitzia Gonzalez.
Okay, so the IV catheter placement was done and the blood obtained through that?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. And then next we have induction and intubation at 12:44, and who did that, the induction and intubation?
The nurse did that as well as the practice manager. They did it together and I was standing by with them.
Okay. And then were monitoring was then set up, SpO2, ECG, and blood pressure attached to the cath?
Correct.
Okay. And fluid administration started?
Yes.
And the record indicates that Princess received 3 minutes of pre-oxygenation.
Yes.
How and when was this done?
This was done prior to giving the propofol.
Okay. By mask?
Yes, by mask.
So were other things going on, or was there a 3 minute period where that's all that was occurring?
I'm not completely sure.
I guess my question is, put a mask and timed 3 minutes and then proceeded with the next step, or was the mask on her while catheter was being placed and blood drawn and that type of thing?
The mask was placed on her right after they got the catheter and the blood. They moved her to the dental table and she was given pre-oxygenation. One nurse held her and gave the pre-oxygenation, and then another one started hooking up the leads.
Thank you. Then the teeth were scaled and polished by, again, the staff
Correct.
Member. Beginning at 12:45. And then lastly, you performed your oral exam at that point?
Correct.
Including probing of the teeth. Your examination. That's what the record states.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Okay. So from 12:42 to when the sevoflurane was turned off at 12:47, a period of 5 minutes, all of those things occurred.
That is correct.
Okay. And I think I heard you say then you were in your physical exam, you were taking a heart rate and respiration rate right after the nurse did, and we have a discrepancy then in the values. 70 for heart rate, respiratory rate of 12 as the initial vitals, and then you began your physical exam and now we're at 160 and a respiration rate of 50. Would that be right?
That is correct.
Okay. In regards to the propofol, which again, timestamp at 12:44, who determines that dose?
The doctor pulls up a dose and then it's given titrated to effect.
So you pull up
the Correct. Dose?
You,
yes.
Okay. And who administered the propofol?
The nurse did.
Okay. And you where were you at this point?
I was standing with them.
Okay. Was the entire 3 cc's injected?
Yes, it was.
Over what period of time?
Maybe a minute and a half.
Okay. Minute and a half titrated to effect.
Yes.
But all of it was given?
Yes.
Okay. At that time when the propofol was given, did any apnea occur?
No.
So the cat continued to breathe We didn't have the propofol apnea that we all experienced. You didn't see any of that.
Correct. The cat was still breathing.
Okay. So no bagging was done at that point?
From my understanding, no.
Okay. Can you describe then the patient's respiration at that point? Normal bag movements, normal chest, everything normal. Okay. And this discussion regarding the mandibular symphysis, prior injury, follow-up radiographs, when was that done with the owner?
When did we ask the owner?
He wanted to re-radiograph.
We asked the owner during the time of the dental.
During the dental?
Yes, somebody called to ask if they still wanted to do it.
In that 5-minute time period. Did you call or did?
No, I did not call.
So somebody from the staff called and said, do you want us to re-radiograph?
Correct. And that was declined.
And declined, right. So at 12:47, excuse me, the sevoflurane was turned off and the cat was transferred to the ER at 3:45. Approximately are almost exactly 3 hours. We had a 3-hour period.
Correct.
Where the cat was non-responsive and not recovering from the anesthesia.
The cat was somewhat responsive, but not appropriately responsive.
Okay, thank you.
Following anesthesia.
Thank you. During this period, can you describe the heart rate, the respiratory rate, the SpO2 level, the O2 level on the machine, these things?
Yes. During this time and then up until the time where 250, where my colleague arrived, the heart rate was 150, blood pressure and all of our other values were normal. The patient had a slow palpebral reflex, and SpO2 was appropriate at that point in time. And I had given reversals.
Right. You gave some reversals during that time period. So the SpO2 was fine through the whole 3 hours?
Yes, the SpO2 was completely normal until the time where my boss removed, extubated the cat.
Okay.
And then it dropped.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay. All right. So there's a record of these anesthesia parameters during this period?
Yes, there should be.
During the recovery, the 3-hour recovery?
Yes. I don't know if we have one here though. They typically load them in this system, but if they weren't loaded in the system that day, then they would be in the file. But at the time that this came about, they no longer had the file for us to go back to.
So what we can say, they were recorded, but correct. We don't have them.
Correct.
Okay. The record indicates extubation occurred at 1. Is that correct or incorrect?
That's incorrect.
Under patient's parameter at extubation, it says extubation at 1. 1 p.m.
Where are you seeing that the patient?
Under patient's parameter at extubation. There's some lines there that indicates extubation at 1, and then I think the SpO2 is recorded at that point, and we do have that. So
I think that this is an error from the nurse that was recorded when they turned everything off. The patient was never extubated until my colleague came.
Okay, so that's incorrect.
The
1 o'clock.
Correct.
Okay, then the period when you and Dr. Fasbo were attending to Princess together?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Fasbo disconnected the oxygen and the SpO2 dropped to 75%.
Correct.
That's in the record, so that part's correct.
Correct.
Dropped from what?
Dropped from It was at 100, and then it slowly dropped down.
Okay, again, we don't have those.
Okay.
Okay. And this is the time when the mucus plug was discovered in the tracheal tube, right? The endotracheal tube.
Correct.
Can you describe that in more detail for me?
What would you like to know?
Where in the tube?
I didn't actually remove it myself, so I would have to speak with Dr. Fasfa about the exact location of the tube.
So you wouldn't be able to tell us whether it completely occluded the tube or not?
That is correct.
Okay, so were you there enough to describe the respiration before and after the discovery of this possible occluded tube?
Sorry, can you ask that again?
The respiration. Tell me about the respiration during this time before and after the extubation and reintubation. The same?
Yes, the respirations were about the same during that period.
Okay, that's all the questions I have.
Do any of their board members have questions?
Yes. When you refer to the term nurse, that's not a term in our statutes. Were these veterinary technicians, certified veterinary technicians, a combination of both?
Veterinary assistants.
We don't have that in there either.
So non-certified CBTs, yeah, is what you're saying.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, any other questions? Okay. Thank you. You may both step back. We will now hear from the complainant in this case. Robert, if you'd like to come forward. Thank you for being here today, Robert. I am going to swear you in now for the record, okay? Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. And you are obviously the complainant in this case. We have read the materials you have provided, and you can now address the board.
Fellow board members, I brought pictures of my cat that I wanted to share with you. Now, my cat was traumatized going to the vet because I took her to another PetSmart, and at the time it was during COVID, so they had a drop-off policy. And when she was there, she had encountered a bunch of other barking dogs or whatever, and that really, really frightened her. So when I picked her up, she was very traumatized, and it was very hard to deal with her. After that, each time I took her to the veterinarian, it was hard to get her in her carrier because she was scared. She didn't want to go there. And I worked with another veterinarian at the same PetSmart in Tempe Marketplace that was trained to deal with animals that were very anxious and very had this disposition, but she had moved on, so then we ended up with Dr. Schaefer. When I dropped her off, I had asked them to give my cat a pedicure, and they called me about the radiographs because she had her bottom mandibular jaw had a space in it, and she'd had that for years. She never complained about eating, she'd always eat. She always drank, she never meowed or had any problems with that. So when I got the call that she was, they said she was ready, so I showed up and then they put me in her room, and Dr. Schaefer had come in and she's like, well, you know, she explained that they had sedated Princess and that she did not, you know, come back from her anesthesia, that she did not wake up. And she ended up in the emergency and we just saw her, just, you know, I didn't even get to see her till late at night when we arrived at the emergency clinic. And then overnight her vitals had dropped and she began to have seizures, and she got to a point where she was just not the same, and it didn't look like she was going to survive or be well. So we made the decision with the doctor there to put her to sleep and let her go. So they know, Banfield took care of all the arrangements on our behalf, and they took a paw print for my cat, and I wanted to show it to you because I had asked them to give her a pedicure. But this paw print shows distinctly that she was not even given that. So it just shows me that not only is the facility that's there, they just kind of go through the motions like a turnstile for the pets that go see them. There's no care given to the animals that they see. And I just feel that they, you know, even the emergency doctor agreed with me that they oversedated her. They gave her too much medication because they mistakenly thought that she didn't receive the first dose or something. And because of that over-medication, she ended up passing away. And, you know, I don't know if it's indicative of how Dr. Schaefer works or if it's that practice in general, but it just really shows me that they did not do what they said they were going to do when they took a very, you know, old cat that was very fearful of being in that practice, and for her it was, you know, a terrible experience. It was something that she, you know, obviously she never recovered from, and I just don't want this to happen to another family, because this cat was my friend, and you can see in the pictures that she's happy, and she found me, you know, she came to me, she was a stray, and she followed me to my place, and I invited her into my home, and she walked down the stairs and walked into my place, and I kept her for a moment, and I just feel that, you know, she's been gone several months now, and I still miss her. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about her, and I want you to know that, you know, like I said, I just don't want this to happen to another family. Because I'm old, but if this were a young child that had this and they had to go through this, it would be very traumatic for them. You know, it's traumatic for me, and I'm an older man, but I just wanted you to know that, and thank you.
Thank you. I'm so sorry for the loss of your princess. I'd just like to ask if any board members have questions of the complainant.
I'm very sorry for what you had to go through. At the emergency room, did you talk to more than one doctor during this time?
Yes, they had shifts that they were on. So when Princess got there, she was with the doctor who had initially seen her on arrival, and they called me and they said, you know, if you want to come see her, you can come see her. So we did, and then they had just changed shifts. So the second doctor that was there, that they deal specifically with animals that are in this state or under these conditions, and then in the morning it was the same doctor that was there. I forget her name.
Okay,
but
that's fine.
Yeah.
And then you had a conversation that you alluded to regarding the over-medicating. Which doctor was that?
That was the doctor in the morning. Sorry, I can't remember her name.
That's okay.
And we had talked about it, and we had stated, you know, we think this is because they over-medicated her, and the doctor agreed with us.
I get that's my question.
Yeah.
So that came from you.
Yes.
That was you asking a question. That wasn't offered by.
Correct.
Okay.
Because we were looking for
sure.
Reasoning.
for why this happened, and
okay.
That's what was offered, yes.
Okay. But there was agreement?
Yes.
By that? Okay.
I was sorry, I would have to technically swear you in if you want to come forward and speak.
Only because I was right with him, with my son.
Okay.
If you would, I would like to.
My question has been answered.
I think she's good, or I'm sorry, I think Dr. Nosley got the question answered, so I think we're okay.
Okay, as he was saying.
Okay, but hold on, sorry, we really do, because we've got a court reporter right here that's recording the proceedings. You're welcome to come forward if you have anything to add. I need to make sure I'm doing everything by the book. So if you could please state your name for the record, and then I'm going to swear you in real quick.
Yes, my name is Patricia Orozco.
Okay, Patricia, do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
Thank you, go ahead.
Okay, as my son was explaining when we arrived at the emergency, actually, I don't want to go into detail, but specifically, with the, she was a specialist, a veterinarian that was there on that evening shift when we went to go see Princess. We wanted to see her. We wanted her to wake up, to come out of anesthesia. So when we were there and we seen her condition, she was shaking, her legs were moving. I was shocked. She was intubated. I said, kitty girl, I called her kitty girl. And she stopped, and it looked like she almost recognized us. Her eyes were open. So I was looking at my son, and we were devastated to see her like that. And I remember the veterinarian trying to talk to us, and I was emotional. I started crying. So she was I said, what happened? What happened? She was supposed to get a teeth cleaning. That was it. And she looked at me and she just said, well, sometimes, you know, she was trying to like go around, kind of vaguely explain maybe her reasoning. She goes, well, it could have been the medication. You know, I was looking at the, I said, did you look at the records when they sent Princess over? She said, yes, I did. I said, well, what happened? And she says, well, it appears that they gave her a second dose of anesthesia because the first one did not work for her. Right. So I'm looking at her and I said, well, basically what you're telling me is that she over-medicated her, then she overdosed her, and this is her condition now.
Okay.
And she said, yes, that's true. That's what it shows from the records.
Yep. Answers
so I
my
knew
question
immediately.
Fully.
She killed her. Yeah. And what could we do? But she was never going to come out of it. We had to let her go because that was a humane thing to do for her. She was just innocent.
Thank you for adding some clarification to that answers
yeah,
my question.
I know, you're
thank
very
you
emotional.
Do any other board members have questions for either? Okay, thank you both for being here. Go ahead and step back now. We're gonna have Dr. Schaefer and counsel. Do you have any, do either of you have any additional remarks or comments, questions?
Yes, I have an additional remark.
Okay.
I just want to start by saying, first and foremost, I am absolutely devastated by what happened to Princess on this day. At no point does how I feel compare to the owners and their loss. It is unimaginable. This is not anything I ever wanted to experience. I look at anesthesia and cats very differently. I still remember everything, you know, related to that day and transferring the cat. And I'm a newer veterinarian. It was probably the first time I've had a patient with an adverse like in an adverse, serious situation like that. So it really sticks with me, and I've made changes, but to how we practice, how things are done at our clinic. But most of all, I am just so sorry for the outcome and for the loss for these owners.
And I just a couple of comments as well. I also echo, I mean, as a pet lover, a pet owner for years and years and years, it is horrible to lose a pet, and I really am sorry for your loss, sir. The only other comment I would make is we just learned, and this is the first time I had learned about the conversations with the veterinarians at the at emergency hospital. And I can see how if the veterinarian at the emergency hospital looks at just the records, it would appear that this cat was double dosed. Because there is no discussion in the records about the cat was fractious, and that Dr. Schaefer did not believe that she was able to get the full dose in on the first injection. And so, and I'm not blaming anywhere a fault of that veterinarian. I mean, that's a reasonable interpretation of the records, unfortunately. And so that could certainly lead to an explanation of why they were told that perhaps the cat was overdosed or given too much medication. I would just echo the my request in the original response that we submitted that I believe the medical veterinary care was reasonable and appropriate. And that is what is really the relevant question, is was it reasonable? And based on Dr. Schaefer's observations that it did not appear that the cat had been anesthetized with the first dose, it was reasonable to move forward and make sure the cat was safe to be for the dental treatment. And I will either request at most for a letter, I mean, non-disciplinary education or a dismissal, whatever is the board's preference. But I do think this is a case that warrants dismissal, actually. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Are there any additional questions for board members?
I do have a quick one. Dr. Schaefer, since you are unsure, say you are unsure about how much of the first dose got into the cat, did you consider reducing the dosage size on the second injection because of that?
No, because of how much was left on the fur. I did not feel as though I had given hardly any of it into the cat.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You may both step back, and this concludes the portion of the formal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
Okay. So the issue in this case, and we see cases like this, is was this an adverse anesthetic event? Was it the result of some pre-existing, undisclosed medical condition? Or does it simply fall under the heading of an adverse reaction to anesthesia? We hear that term. I've even heard allergy. I'm not sure where either of those come from. Or these things happen. We often hear that. Or was the administration of the anesthesia, oxygen, monitoring of the patient, etc., inappropriate? One of those is true. Either this was just some bizarre occurrence, or was there some problem with the protocol? As far as pre-existing, this cat had been to this Banfield facilities, multiple blood draws. This four other dentals, I believe, at least three, maybe, I think four. One of those an hour long, one of them also very, very short like this one. Symptomology, there was none. As we heard, apparently healthy cat and a relatively normal physical exam, albeit under sedation. So if we look at detail at the anesthetic event, we have no anesthetic record to rely on because the procedure was so short. We don't have anything. This whole time, now it may be a little different now, but as far as the records we have,
this whole time period, there are only two recorded SpO2 readings during this three-hour period. That's the information we have. One at the beginning of the physical exam or the anesthesia, and, or I'm sorry, one at the extubation that wasn't actually an extubation. And when Dr. Fasbaugh removed the tube and we had his mucus plug. Other than that, there are no SpO2 readings over this entire time period for us to look at, because in anesthesia, we look at trends. That's why we do anesthetic records every 5 or by statute every 15, because we're looking at trends. Are we going up or going down? What's happening to the blood pressure? We don't have any of that because this whole procedure took place in 2 minutes. We don't have any documentation of the patient's respiratory quality. We've heard some things today, and that's helpful. We don't know whether there was positive pressure ventilation this whole time. We don't know any of those things. All we know is it didn't respond to the reversals or the turning off of the anesthesia. We have this issue of the mucus plug, and we don't know if that was occluding the trach tube or for how long. Sometimes in anesthetic cases, we have a definite, here's a problem, the pop-off valve was left closed. Or somebody turned the SIVO all the way to high when they meant to turn it off. We have those things that happen. And we don't have any hard individual evidence of anything like that. We also don't know about cuff inflation problems. So we don't have that information for us. So it's basically the difference between the direct hard evidence of something this went wrong or the totality of the record that I rely on. Talking specifically about the propofol, this patient received a dose of 7 mg/kg of propofol. And we all rely on Plums and their dosages. With no pre-meds, the recommended high dose is 7.6 mg/kg with no pre-meds. And this was 7 given. And we all know of propofol's propensity to cause respiratory apnea, actual depression or apnea. It's also, and by experience, every veterinarian I think knows this, pre-meds reduce the required amount of propofol by anywhere from 40 to 60%. So we did have pre-meds in this case, specifically with dexmedetomidine, an opioid, not even considering the ketamine that was given. The suggested amount would be somewhere from 2.2 to 2.8, or half an ml to 1 ml, 1.2 ml. Dexmedetomidine and butorphanol are respiratory depressants. Ketamine is too on a high dose, but we didn't have a high dose. So there was a lot of discussion at the investigative committee about this, the DKT and the double dosing. And for those that aren't familiar with it, these drugs are given in usually in equal volumes and a recommended dose on what you're trying to accomplish. I disagree with the investigative committee that this double dosing and overdosing, because if you look at recommendations for giving these drugs, 0.1 of each of these drugs given is considered a mild pre-med. We have mild, moderate, and profound. This would be considered a very mild dose of DKT at 0.1. Now, it was given twice. 22 minutes apart tells us that the first dose was not effective. Probably didn't get in the cap, a lot of it, because we have the same behavior 22 minutes later, same fractiousness. And then when the second dose was given, the respondent said she feels confident got in the cat. The cat was sedate in 2 minutes, which is what we normally expect. So even if we take both the 0.1 of each drug, 0.3 total, and add that to the second, we're still only in the moderate range at 0.2. We're still not anywhere near an overdose of DKT. Even if both 0.2 was given at the same time, we're still in the acceptable range for a pre-med moderate dose. So I don't see any issue at all or any problem with the DKT and the actions the respondent took. Also, the investigative committee was concerned that about the possibility of hyperthyroidism. That's not supported by history, exam, weight loss, all the things, heart rate, all the things we look for hyperthyroidism. Yeah, a lot of old cats have hyperthyroidism, but we don't have any direct evidence that this cat did. Yeah, it'd be nice to have a value, but then the issue of proceeding with prior to obtaining blood results. And that's a hard one. There is no requirement for blood results, preoperative blood work, for one thing. And in these circumstances, and I've been in them a lot, where there's no way I'm going to get blood values on this cat. So what do I do? Do I sedate it, draw the blood, wake it up, reschedule, or do I go ahead and proceed? And it's a case basis. If the cat's healthy, everything is going good, I would do exactly as the respondent. And then it's no longer a pre-op, it's an intra-op blood results or a post-op blood results, which helps you with follow-up care, any other problems, maybe there were some kidney issues, maybe I need to diurese, all those things. So in this particular circumstance, ideal world, we have pre-op blood on everything. In this particular instance, I do not see that was a factor, and in fact, I would have proceeded the same. This issue of the records and the time frame is very concerning and perplexing, if you will. All those things that we just discussed, how can those possibly be done in 5 minutes? There was a lot of things done. How could they possibly be done in 5 minutes? Including a complete cleaning and probing by the doctor and the blood draw and the IV catheter and the exam.
And the calling of the owner.
What's right. That? And the calling of the owner. Although she said that was done by somebody. So there's some overlap. I mean, they weren't sequential one right after the other. But so that's a problem for me. I guess it's a records problem. I don't know. The investigative committee found ARS 3222, 3221 failure to maintain the adequate records because of this time frame. I would probably amend that to say the time between when the patient was deemed sedate enough to proceed and when the SIBO was turned off. I mean, that's probably what I would do. They made that a little complicated. But I agree with these time frames are unrealistic and post-op vitals were reportedly documented incorrectly. Okay, there's discrepancies, there's obviously errors in the record and that type of thing, so I'm fine with that. So as far as that first motion, that's the motion I would make. And Tracy, do I need to repeat it, the whole thing again?
No. Okay.
I would change that time frame thing in there. Okay. So a motion as to the records violation that the IC found.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion and a second to find a violation in case 2415. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, and then again, I have to decide between, is this just some strange adverse event, or does the totality of the record tell me that a problem occurred? And that's a hard thing to do, but with that in mind, I would make a motion to find a violation of ARS 3222-3222, medical incompetence or an inappropriate administration of excess amount of propofol and a failure to adequately support the patient's respiration, resulting in hypoxia and ultimate death.
Second.
Clarify real quick.
Okay.
Earlier, I think I heard in the discussion that you were not concerned about the two doses of DKD. So in this one, your concern is more about the monitoring and additional support.
And the propofol.
And the propofol, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Only the pre-med only from the standpoint that those drugs are contribute to respiratory depression, but they weren't given in excess amounts. But they contribute in the fact, and when you're developing an anesthetic plan, that respiratory depression is a problem. Because this apparent, exactly what that cat did is what cats who are experiencing hypoxia do.
Yeah, but it could also be a kitty cat that has HCM. We don't have a necropsy that doesn't show that.
Right.
I mean, so I don't know if I can blame the propofol at that dose either.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
No, I understand. We don't have a necropsy, and we.
Because I mean, because it could be a blood clot that was thrown during surgery. This could all be explained by HCM, unfortunately. And that puts doubt in my mind, especially because they are appropriate doses.
Of the pre-meds.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and of the propofol.
I mean, if they're titrating to effect, sometimes.
But they gave the whole amount.
Yeah. I've had to give the whole amount of propofol.
Well, oh, sure, but I'm saying that's the 7 mgs, whatever I studied, is the dose that was given, and that's excessive.
Yeah, I mean, was it really given? My concern was it really given to effect, or was it just given?
A bolus.
You know what I mean?
I had that question.
Because
if you give
the whole dose, and you're saying you gave it to effect, then basically you're saying this wasn't working, violent, get to the end, and all of a sudden the cat's sedate. Like, I just, that seems a little odd to me. Usually when you give it to effect, there's some level of something left.
Yeah.
Or you're documenting that the cat's still not asleep and you're having to get more.
Right.
That was my only
comment.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, with that in mind, the discussion about pre-existing, that we don't have, is that it? Pre-existing, these things happen? Or the totality of the record telling me that this was an inappropriate anesthetic plan? So that's the motion for medical incompetence.
Second.
Okay. And I guess I don't know what else it would fall under, but I don't know if I can necessarily say it was medical incompetence because we don't know exactly what happened. We also don't know the actual cause of death in this cat. But do I have a little bit of uncertainty and concern about how it was done? Yes. But can I say that's what caused the outcome? I don't know that I can.
Yeah.
The standard was practice then? Not medical incompetence, but professionally acceptable procedures and use of current professional scientific knowledge. More
sure.
Of a,
that's what I was deciding between exactly. So. We're going to leave the motion and see what happens, and then we can go from there.
Keep it.
Keep it the way it is.
Okay. Yeah. So we had a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. So that fails. Okay. So then, Mickey, if you want to.
All right.
Or
I can do it.
Dr.
You can do it. He has it all.
So I would make a motion that we find a violation under. 32, 22, 32, 12, as it relates to, I believe, R35011, failure to follow acceptable professional procedures and scientific knowledge in the inappropriate administration of excess amount of propofol and a failure to adequately support the patient's respiration, resulting in hypoxia.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Did you have anything further? Or was that?
Okay.
The board has voted to find violations. This concludes this matter, and at next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law, and after doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please let the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, know. Thank you all for being here today. I'd just like to state to Dr. Schaefer, because you remarked that you are a new vet, don't let this discourage you from practicing. You know, this is a great learning opportunity. So I just wanted to state that.
I echo that.
Okay, thank you for being here. Okay, we are gonna go back to, let's see where we're at.
Can you give me one second?